the Fan.
It's time for Packers Preview again. Talking about the Pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Mike's fans can call if you've got the balls. The Packers Preview Show.
It's time now for year 27 of Packer Preview, presented by Hudson Ford. Now, from the KFAN studios, here's the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Packer fans, and welcome to year number 27 of Packer Preview on the sports leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan, the Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Fantastic to be with you on this September morning as we get set to kick off a new Packer season filled with lots of hope, lots of expectations, and lots of uncertainties. So great to be back, and for the next hour, we will get you ready for the opener. It doesn't get much bigger than opening up at U.S. Bank Stadium. Packers, Vikings, 325. Of course, you'll hear it right here on the home of the Purple, 100.3 FM, the Fan, the flagship for those Minnesota Vikings. Wow, where do we start? Well, let's take a big look picture at the state of the Packers and what's different from a year ago. Obviously, most of those changes have come on the offensive side of the ball. No Davante Adams, no Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and maybe being underplayed a bit, no Nathaniel Hackett, no Luke Getsy in the coaching staff either. I mean, can you guys remember a season in the last 20 years where the biggest question marks, maybe even the biggest concerns, come on the offensive side of the ball? Well, that's where we sit right now. With a real question mark about this passing offense. But as I've said a lot throughout this offseason, as we've gotten closer to the opener, if you're going to have a weakness and you've got a Hall of Fame, two-time defending MVP quarterback and a sturdy offensive line and a great running attack, you can probably get by without an elite core of wide receivers. We all know a great quarterback can make good receivers great and great receivers elite. And so we'll take this season to see how things sort of shake out with that receiving core. I think the Packers' offense will be a work in progress and likely to get better as the season goes along and Rodgers gets more comfortable with a new slate of receivers. Well, I'm going to start today's game having only thrown passes, as far as receivers go, to Randall Cobb and Robert Tonyan, who will be playing today most likely. Obviously, the running backs will figure in, but with no Allen Lazard, obviously no Devontae, no MBS, it'll be a work in progress, and we'll see how the offensive scheme changes as the Packers' offense gets comfortable with these new players out on the field. We'll get into the matchups and the game. I again, want to take kind of a big picture look at this team. Beyond the offensive coaches being gone and the receivers being gone, the other big change for this team has come on special teams, where they have invested heavily, making former Raiders head coach Rich Bisaccia the highest-paid special teams coach in NFL history. He brought in some of his assistants, and hopefully, those units can rise from incompetence just to competence. We're not looking for greatness here. Just don't blow a playoff game. Just don't fumble returns. Just maybe don't allow big returns, and we'll watch that very closely. And the Packers have really retooled their roster to make much more of a more of an impact on special teams, most recently finding Rudy Ford, the safety who Jacksonville cut, special teams ace over the last handful of years, to lead this unit as the gunner. He joins this team along with a couple of other former Raiders like Keyshawn Nixon. Tell you what, you watched the preseason, I'm sure most of you did. We didn't see much improvement at all when it comes to special teams, but we'll see some different players out there now that the real games count, and we're going to hear some starters out there as well, which, you know, good and bad, right? You don't want to see a starter go down with an injury on special teams, but on the other hand, you also don't want to see a season implode on special teams either. So a lot of question marks on those units. Goes with the return game as well. It sounds like Amari Rodgers gets both duties, kickoff return and punt return. Let's just see if special teams can rise to be an average unit, because that will go a long way and getting the Packers where they want to go. We know that is the Super Bowl. It's been 12 years, man. 12 seasons since Green Bay has been to the Super Bowl. Despite two number one seeds the last 2 years, they've not gotten to the big game. And that's the focus. That's the end game. The NFC North is not going to be won or lost on this day at U.S. Bank Stadium. We just want a healthy team, as healthy as possible, when these two teams meet again on January 1st and Week 17, and then the playoffs that follow that. So you will likely not see David Bakhtiari nor Elgton Jenkins on the field today. The Packers will be without their two starting tackles, per a report by Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, this morning. Unlikely that either of those guys play. And again, I have no problem with that. Yes, the Packers have a better chance to knock off the purple with a healthy David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, obviously. When it comes to Jenkins, you know, he tore that ACL on this field at U.S. Bank Stadium a year ago. This fake grass can be a concern. I have no issue holding off those two guys. And with Chicago looming next Sunday night, give them a couple weeks. You know, get them ready for Tampa Bay Week 3. Obviously, we have no idea where David Bakhtiari is as far as his knee. It's been over a season. It's been, 20 months now since the injury. He's had several surgeries since. And there's obviously a real concern that David Bakhtiari will never be the guy that we've grown to know and love, and the elite left tackle in this league. Let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope that he will be back. But Green Bay feels, I think, pretty confident that Josh Nyman can handle that blindside. I wish they had felt that confident in the playoff game against the 49ers last year when they reshuffled the line and it really turned out to be a disaster. Just tell me that Bakhtiari and Jenkins will be on the field January 1. And I am good with that. But they will not play today. And neither will Alan Lazard. That injury bubbled up last week. The reports came out late last week that he got his ankle stepped on. I read today that it was by a defensive tackle who shall rename nameless. But he will miss this game as well. He's listed as doubtful. He will not play. And, hey, let's face it. That's obviously a huge concern. Alan Lazard is going to be the wide receiver one for this offense. He is going to be Rodgers' nookie blankie. He's going to be the guy on third downs that Rodgers wants to turn to because he trusts him. He knows the system backwards and forwards. And to not have him today is a big loss for Green Bay in week one. It's also going to be a loss in the red zone, not to have his most trusted and most veteran receiver. That's a big loss. And we'll see who picks up the slack in that one. It does sound like Robert Tonyan is going to play, which I consider a surprise. I did not expect him ready for week one. How much will he play? How is he on a pitch count? Again, this turf is a concern. But, man, we're at a point now where we do need some trusted bodies out there for Rodgers to throw to. So I'm happy to hear that Tonyan is back. I know you guys are too. I think he could be a real focal part of this offense all season if that knee is indeed healed. So that's a good thing. Otherwise, the defense is, you know, kind of where I want to start. This defense, to me, is going to be the identity of this team. 10 starters returned from a year ago. The new starter is rookie first-round pick Quay Walker, who steps into the middle of this defense next to Devondre Campbell. And I am so excited to watch number 7 play. He's the only starter outside of a couple offensive linemen that we got a chance to see in the preseason. And he flashed a bit. He certainly showed his speed. And I know a lot of you, like myself, have clamored for so long to see this defense employ a couple of really athletic inside linebackers. You know, we see it in San Francisco. We see it in Tampa Bay. We know what that can do for a defense, especially in the middle of the field. So giving Quay Walker a shot to join this defense, that athleticism, that talent, I think can only elevate a unit that I think has a chance to be a top five defense in this league. 7 number 1 draft picks on this defense now, 1 to 11, there's not a weakness. There's always been a question mark, right? Slot corner, inside linebacker, D-line. 1 to 11 now, this defense is legit. 7 number 1 picks, and the guys that aren't number 1 picks, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, those are all Pro Bowl caliber players. So, and none of them have hit the age of 30 yet. So I am really excited about this defense, and we'll talk about the matchup with Minnesota today, a great first test for this defense. But year 2 of Joe Barry's system, they're healthy. I just can't wait to see what this defense can do. Differences? How about depth on the defensive line? It's been another area where this organization has kind of used Band-Aids and patched things up and undrafted guys and guys off the waiver wire to kind of fill out the line. That is no longer the case. Now Kenny Clark can look next to him and see Jaron Reed, the free agent pickup out of Kansas City and Seattle, who has looked reportedly fantastic in training camp so far. Dee Lowry had a bounce-back year a year ago. T.J. Slayton is expected to take a big jump in year two. The coaches are really excited about him. That's four guys right there. And then you've got number one pick Devontae Wyatt, the second number one pick, who it was kind of an odd choice for the Pack because he's old. He's like only, I think, 8 or 9 months younger than Kenny Clark. He's 24, and it's been a little slow to go for him, which is not unusual. D linemen sometimes do take a little bit longer to get used to things in the NFL. But the nice thing is he's not necessarily going to be counted on right away. Barring injuries, he's kind of buried on the depth chart right now until he shows he's ready. But Green Bay goes 4 or 5 deep on the D-line. I love that. Certainly an inside linebacker as well. Now with Campbell and Quay Walker starting, and the two guys behind him, Chris Barnes, O.J. McDuffie, all looked really nice in the preseason. Give the Packers some good depth there. Four talented inside linebackers. Again, depth that like we have not seen. There is some concern about the depth, though, at outside linebacker. There's concern for me in the secondary beyond the starters. And you know those guys are going to need to play. Pass rushers are going to take plays off. I think the reserve pass rushers last year accounted for about 1/3 of the snaps. So whether it's the rookie, Kingsley Enagbare, whether it's Jonathan Garvin, Gallier, one of those guys needs to step up and show that there's not a drop-off when Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith take a play off. Speaking of Gary, he's the guy likely to take that major step, possibly into superstar status. Looked fantastic in preseason. Took a big step last year, as you guys know, and is the number one pass rusher for this team. Really excited to see what he can do, whether he's lined up opposite Darisaw today or Brian O'Neill. It's going to be very fun to watch a number 52 strut his stuff in year three, poised to take a major leap. And then there's the secondary. You know, it's hard to find a better trio of corners. Maybe Baltimore can compete, but man, in Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, and Rasul Douglas, there's not a weakness among those three. It's going to be a challenge for opposing passing attacks, and really fun to have Jair Alexander back. And we'll see what he can do with Justin Jefferson. More on that as we move along. At safety, I guess my one concern is the health of Darnell Savage, who's been out with a hamstring for the preseason. He's good to go. He's off the injury report. Hopefully that thing holds up. But beyond those two guys, there's not a whole lot of depth at the safety position, and that might be a spot Green Bay keeps an eye on the waiver wire. They lost a couple guys to injuries in the preseason. They did activate a late add to the roster, Micah Abernathy, USFL guy, who they like his talent. He was elevated from the practice squad today. He'll be active, as will Juwan Winfrey, the wide receiver who Aaron Rodgers really lobbied for throughout the summer but did not make the team. They did bring him back to the practice squad and now activated him today. I don't know if that's a little bit of Darnell Savage insurance, if they're not sure Darnell can handle a full complement of plays in his first game following the hamstring injury, but he is active as well. So whether he plays or not, probably more of a special teams kind of guy, but he is there. So no Jenkins, no Bakhtiari, no Lazard today, but Robert Tonyan is active. So what do we got with the Vikings? What kind of a matchup are we looking at when we come back? We'll break down the opener. What do the new look Vikings have in store for us? We've seen very little of that, none of that in the preseason. It's a whole new ballgame in Minnesota. Will things change when the Packers come to town? We'll talk all about it when we come back. It's Packer Preview on The Fan.
Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay.
Packer Preview brought to you by JTR Roofing.
We're the Minnesota Vikings and we're just a pile of junk. We play in a dome, they call the Humpty Dump. Win a few games, make the playoffs and we choke. The Minnesota Vikings and you know that we're a joke. We joined the NFL back in 1960. We're gonna be a great team, someday you'll see. Just like the Packers, gonna win a Super Bowl. To be number one is our only goal. Now we've been there 4 times, but we never seem to win. And that's not good enough.
just to get in. We gotta win the big one and we gotta do it now. We're never gonna do it cause we don't know how. We lost to Kansas City, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Miami too. And if we
play to stir things up, it's the season opener, it's the border battle, it's Packers Vikings, and this is Packer Preview on the Fan. Pretty much the only time you're gonna hear that song on the Vikings flagship station. We've been playing it for years. Thanks, producer Brett Blakemore, for digging her up. We're getting you ready for Packers Vikes. 325. You'll listen to it on the Fan. You can watch it on Fox. The first game for the brand new number one Fox team of Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olson, with Aaron Andrews. It all kicks off at 325 today. Border battle number 123. Packers lead 64-56. There have been three ties. And if Green Bay wins this one today, they will have an all-time winning record in the state of Minnesota. Right now it's 30-30 through 60 games. Fourth straight road opener for the Pack. 8 out of the last 10 Green Bay has opened away from Lambeau Field. It's only the second time we've ever opened up in Minnesota. It happened a couple years ago, as you may recall. Packers won that one. Up until last year, Packers had won 6 straight season openers, despite being on the road for most of them. We know what happened last year, right? The embarrassment, the 38-3 demolition in Jacksonville, neutral field where there were more Packer fans than Saints fans, and a real head-scratcher. You know, we didn't know what to expect after that one, and obviously Green Bay goes on to go 13-4 and get the number one seed. That's why, again, nothing's going to be determined today except early bragging rights among our two fan bases. It's obviously a more important game for Minnesota in that it's a home division game for them to sort of set their sights on where they want to go. A lot of hype on the Vikes this year, a lot of trendiness as far as picking them to reach the playoffs, maybe even win the North. I do think they have a chance to reach the playoffs. I think they have a chance to be a 10-win operation if everything goes right, maybe even 11. But I don't believe they're in the Packers' class just yet. This division, barring number 12 getting injured, should be the Packers for a fourth straight season. But work to be done. And obviously, we know very little about what to expect from Minnesota. And that's really what this game's all about. We don't know much about the Packers' passing attack and how that will be impacted. We know nothing about what the Vikings are going to throw at Green Bay. We do know that they've imported a bunch of former Packer coaches to help turn around their defense, beginning with good old 4th-and-26 himself, Ed Donatell, who leaves Denver, takes over the Vikings' defense as defensive coordinator, running that Vic Fangio system and switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4, which means that Danielle Hunter, who's always had his hand down in the dirt, is going to be a stand-up outside linebacker. And, of course, there is Za'Darius Smith, the former Packer, who knows this system very well. And as we've all read in the last week, is a little bitter that he's no longer a Green Bay Packer. Look, I love Za'Darius Smith. I love his 2019 and 2020 seasons. He was spectacular for Green Bay. He was an instant favorite and really gave the defense, I thought, kind of its snarl. And it was unfortunate that he got hurt last season with the back. You know, it kind of went sour when he was not named a captain. Remember how bitter he was that he wasn't named a captain? I don't know if that's kind of what started things or if it was the fact that Green Bay didn't tear up his deal and give him a new one after two very productive seasons. Maybe a combination of both. But then the back injury happens, and we don't see him again until the playoffs, where he played a handful of snaps. And now, of course, after signing with Baltimore, he changed his mind and decided to go join Minnesota so he can try to beat Green Bay twice a season. He'll have his old coach, Mike Smith, the former Packers outside linebacker coach, has joined Minnesota to help install this new defense. I was a big fan of Mike Smith. I think he's a great coach. I think he'll be a coordinator someday. I still remember the reporting when the Packers drafted Rashawn Gary. Many of you will remember I was not a fan of that pick at all. I wasn't happy with what perceived to be his motor at Michigan. All the reports we read about, you know, he has all the talent in the world, but he can't seem to figure it out. Well, he figured it out, and I think Mike Smith was a big reason. And when they drafted him, Smith was bouncing off the walls. He was so excited about that pick, and I just didn't understand it. But now I do, and he helped make Rashawn Gary the player he is, and he'll be tasked with making sure Smith and Hunter understand what their responsibilities are in this new defense. The Vikings defense will go as long as those two guys are healthy, right? I mean, the pass rush in Minnesota was non-existent a year ago with Hunter being out. These two guys give them two formidable bookends if they can stay healthy. And that'll be the storyline all season long, but by all accounts, it's week one. They should be healthy. Of course, Mike Pettine is also helping out this defense. The former Packers DC was brought in by Kevin O'Connell to help out install this this new defense. A lot of question marks, though, on the back end of Minnesota's defense. It's been that way for a while now. We'll see what the cornerbacks look like. Patrick Peterson still out there. Cam Dantzler, their number two pick, Andrew Booth, has been injured. I'm not sure how much he will play. And then former Packer Chandon Sullivan will be in the slot and likely tasked with dealing with Randall Cobb. That'll be a fun matchup to watch because I expect that Rodgers will pay a lot of attention to Cobb today. Again, he wants receivers he trusts, receivers he knows. There's been lots of statistics thrown out there about Rodgers' just dominance against this division. He just owns this division, and he has his whole career, but certainly the last few years in particular. But without Adams, without MVS, you know, maybe we'll see a pick. You know, maybe they won't be on the same page. Maybe, you know, it's going to take a little time for this passing game to be in rhythm. Really curious to see what Rodgers does, who he trusts, who his targets are. Had a lot of question marks about, do we see the rookies today? You know, how much can we expect to see the rookies? And it's hard to know, right? I mean, Christian Watson, you know, is healthy now, but missed basically all of the preseason and virtually all of the preseason games. And he figures to be a big part of this offense as the season goes on, but I'd be really surprised if he gets a lot of run today. I do think we'll see a good chunk of Romeo Doubs, though. I believe he will start, unless they surprise us and put Winfrey out there to start opposite Sammy Watkins. I think Doubs has a chance to start, and I think Rodgers does trust him. We did see some drops from him, but we also saw some spectacular plays in the preseason. I think they've got a real steal there in Romeo Doubs. From all I have heard and all I have read, this kid looks and sounds like the real deal. So, again, fast forward a few months from now, and I think Watson and Doubs are a big talking point with this offense. Not so sure they'll be a huge talking point today. Green Bay is going to try to run this football down Minnesota's throats. They could not stop the run a year ago. They tried to rectify that by adding nose tackle Harrison Phillips, longtime Buffalo Bill, into the front and middle of that defense. They hope that is a step in the right direction. Dalvin Tomlinson's still there. And then right before the season started, they cut their other starting defensive lineman, Armon Watts, and traded for Ross Blacklock, a former number two pick for the Texans. Whether he starts today, whether Jonathan Bullard starts, those guys are tasked with stopping Green Bay's fabulous two-headed running attack. And that's got to be the start and the focal point of this offensive strategy, is seeing if the Vikings can stop the run. Because if they can't, and the Packers are getting chunks of yardage on offense, then Rodgers can have some fun with play action. And certainly opens up everything in that passing game. A lot of question marks on that Vikings defense. If they are going to get up to a 10-11 win operation, that defense is going to have to really improve from what we saw a year ago. So Packers offense against the Vikings defense. Lots of question marks on both sides. Let's flip it, though. Let's look at the other side of the operation when Minnesota has the football, because that's the marquee matchup today, is the Vikings offense against the Packers D. I'm on record. I think it's a low-scoring game today. I think the Packers defense is ready. They've dominated this preseason against the Packers first-team offense, and you could say, well, that doesn't look real good for the Packers offense. I just think it just tells you that this defense is primed to take a major step, and they'll be tested, but I think it's kind of a break that Green Bay catches Minnesota in week one. This offense is not today where it's going to be in a couple months. It can't be. It's a whole new system, and they have not played in the preseason, and I don't blame them for that. The last thing you want to see is an injury in the preseason, and they want to keep their cards close to their vest and surprise teams and all that. But, you know, it's a coach making his first start, calling plays on the sideline, getting plays called in, getting players shifted. It's all going to be a work in progress. And, yeah, it might be smooth, but it also might be a little shaky, and it might take a little time for that offense to do its thing. So I'm really curious to see what the Vikings offense could do today against Green Bay's defense. What is Jair Alexander tasked with? Is he going to move around the field and follow number 18 wherever he goes? Is he going to stay on one side and let the Packers' other corners deal with Jefferson? We know last year Eric Stokes really struggled. It was his worst game as a pro against the Vikings, and Jefferson lit him up. You know, Thielen had a good game. Let's not forget that the game at US Bank Stadium a year ago, Green Bay was missing maybe, you know, two of its top three defensive players. Did not have Jair Alexander, did not have Rashawn Gary. The pass rush was pretty much non-existent, and the Vikings offense and passing attack was able to do kind of whatever it wanted. I want to see Jair Alexander shadow Justin Jefferson and see what he can do. You're not going to shut the guy out, obviously. He's one of the top two or three or four receivers in the game already. But, man, what a strength-on-strength matchup that is. Over the years, Adam Thielen has been kind of a Packer killer. You know, I think Green Bay is more equipped now to deal with that. In Stokes and Douglas, again, three stud corners, three guys that are going to make things very difficult for opposing offenses all season long. And obviously Amos and Savage on the back end to help out when needed. Really curious to see that passing attack against Green Bay's secondary. And then, of course, there's Dalvin Cook, you know, who has had just a fantastic career against Minnesota, against Green Bay. Always seems to perform well when he's out there. He's been very productive against Green Bay in his career. Now, the Pack has gotten better again the run defense, certainly as the year went along last year in the playoffs. It was really good against San Francisco until the final couple of plays there that allowed them to get that victory. Again, Quay Walker added to that mix. Jared Reed up front to give Kenny Clark kind of a running mate. You can't just double-team Kenny Clark anymore because Jared Reed means business, and Dean Lowry's there as well. So can you contain Dalvin Cook? Can you prevent the big play? Can you, you know, make sure that you got the edges covered? And I think this defense is athletic enough now to take care of business. But, you know, it's a fast track. How does Cook handle the new offensive scheme? Will he be more of a receiver than we've seen in the past? Will they, you know, use some of those backup running backs more? Curious to see if Madison plays. He missed the last two practices this week for personal reasons. Obviously, no idea what that is. Don't know if he's unhappy. Who knows? But we'll see if it's Wongwu getting some run or the rookie they've got there. We'll see. But obviously, a heavy dose of Dalvin Cook will be in store for the Packers defense today. So just great matchup. You can't ask for much more than Packers-Vikings in week one. We'll come back. We'll take some of your calls. 800-320-5326, the number. You can tweet me at TC Head Cheese during the break. I'm happy to take your tweets, happy to take your calls. We're still going. It's Packer Preview on The Fan, and we're back right after these.
The best football fans in all the land are Packer fans. And it's a Packer fan.
And iHeartRadio.
Packer Preview brought to you by Hudson Ford.
Well, there's a town in Wisconsin. It's not quite as big as L.A. We got something they don't have, and we're gonna see them today.
Go, you Packers, go, go. Go, you Packers, go, go. This year, yeah, there's gonna go. Go, you Packers, go, go. When the pack is rocking, we'll be rolling. Go, you Packers, go, go.
Back with you. It's Packer Preview on The Fan. Final segment of our season opener. Packers at Vikings today. 3:25 kickoff from U.S. Bank Stadium. Again, the big storyline heading into this one. Green Bay will be without its two starting offensive tackles today. David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins both reportedly will not play today. They're listed as questionable, but early morning reports, Tom Pelissero, NFL.com, they indeed will not play in this opener. Bakhtiari practiced all week, then did not practice Friday. Matt LaFleur said it was not a setback. It's just they'd seen enough. He's proven everything, but we'll always be concerned about number 69 until we see him out there looking like himself, whether that's next week or further down the road. Let's just hope as things get colder and we get closer to playoff time that he's back to his old self. I'm confident that Yash Nyman can step up and do the job today. He'll be challenged, certainly, whether it's Za'Darius Smith, whether it's Danielle Hunter. Without your starting tackles, it's a concern. But number 12 back there has dealt with that before. I expect it'll be Josh Nyman at left tackle, John Runyon at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Jake Hansen at right guard, and Royce Newman at right tackle. If that right side struggles just a bit, wouldn't shock me at all to see Green Bay kick Royce Newman inside to right guard and give rookie Zach Tom a chance at right tackle. He's of the three offensive linemen drafted this year, he's the guy that's really stood out in the preseason. Not a surprise because Green Bay used a third rounder on Sean Ryan out of UCLA, who has not looked so good so far. And if you look at Green Bay's track record in third round picks over the last number of years, it's uncanny how they struggle in that third round. But fortunately, their fourth rounder out of Wake Forest, Zach Thomas, stepped up. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him get some run, especially if Minnesota's pass rush is making some hay on that right side. Other thing I'll be watching closely, I've talked a lot about special teams. Mason Crosby will kick today. He has not suited up the entire preseason dealing with an injury, but he has been cleared. He is good to go. And he has a whole new operation, thankfully, with the jettisoning of the punter. They bring in Pat O'Donnell, the longtime Bears punter. He'll be the holder. I'm told that's kind of what he's known for. I guess he's a good punter. He certainly had a lot of practice being the Bears punter for 8 years, but I guess he's a really good holder as well. And that'll be a step in the right direction. Also, Jack Coco, the new long snapper, kind of wins this job by default. You don't want to have to worry every time you're lining up for a field goal or extra point. But after what we saw last season, especially like in Cincinnati, man, you just kind of have to turn your head and just hope. So I'll be watching that operation, see if Crosby looks like his old self and whether that whole unit is doing its job. And then on the coverage units, again, it's been kind of a disaster in the preseason. They've changed some guys around. Vikings are going to, you know, challenge you with their returners. Kenny Wangwu, a very dangerous kickoff returner, and they made the trade last week for Eagles number one draft pick Jalen Reagor. Of course, you all know the Eagles drafted Reagor one pick before the Vikes took Jefferson. I've said it often. I had a draft crush on Jalen Reagor that year. You look at his tape at TCU and the quickness, and just he's got that sort of extra gear. Really struggled in Philadelphia for whatever reason. So he gets a chance to resurrect his career, beginning as a punt returner today. And, my only concern for the Pack today, I mean, it's a pick'em game, as it probably should be. You know, Green Bay has been favored through most of the week as the books take in money. Now it's seen as a toss-up. And for me, special teams is what turns this the Vikings' way. If they get some big returns, if they do something winky on special teams, anything can happen. But if Green Bay handles its business on special teams, I just think that Minnesota's got to do some tuning up. They're not going to be sharp week one with two new systems in place, new play callers. It's just, I think, too much to ask to play a veteran team like Green Bay and expect perfection, which is pretty much what you need against this team, I believe, in week one. All right, let's hear from some of you. I know you've been holding for a while. I appreciate that. It's been a long off season. Football is finally here. And looking forward to talking to you guys, beginning with our buddy Dave, checking in from Shakopee. Good morning, bud.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you and your fellow Badger fans are doing okay after last night's shocker.
Still licking the wounds, my friend. So
yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, that was not good. But hey, you know, with the Packers this year, you talked a little bit about it, and I'm just wondering, what should we be the most worried about? Our defensive line, the depth we have in the defensive line, or no bona fide number one receiver? And then with today's game, what part of the game plan do you think is to run at Smith? You know, the way he gets upfield, he can be vulnerable, I mean, in the cutbacks in his own play. But with Donatello, I see Donatello moving him around a lot. So what are your thoughts there?
Thanks, Dave. Enjoy the game today. Always good to hear from you. I love Green Bay. I mentioned this earlier. I love Green Bay's depth on the D-line. It's been years since I can feel comfortable going four or five deep on the D-line. I'm really anxious to see what Jaron Reed adds to the mix. It's just been spectacular to hear what he's done in preseason, especially when they practiced against the Saints. So I'm looking to see what he adds to the mix. You know, the big storyline nationally for our team is the number one receiver situation. And obviously, you know, you want a number one elite receiver like Davante Adams on your team. This passing attack is diminished substantially without number 17. That goes without saying. You also know that I've said this over and over again. Adams has missed seven games over the last few years, and Green Bay has not lost a game that Davante Adams has missed. They're 7-0. Why is that? Well, I do think in part it's Rodgers tended to just sometimes have tunnel vision on Adams and relied on him too much and kind of just figured, I'll just force the ball into 17 because he's gonna catch it. And we all know the fateful play against the 49ers at the end of the game last year when he went deep to Adams when he was double covered, and there was just no chance of making that play. And Alan Lazard, they had nobody within 10 yards of him anywhere in the middle of the field. So not having Adams, I think, forces Rodgers to play a bit within the framework of the offense, take what the defense gives him, and just hope and trust that the guys he finds can make the play. And I think, again, as the season goes on, he'll gain trust with those guys. Really curious to see what we get out of Sammy Watkins. I have low expectations. I wouldn't be surprised if by Halloween he wasn't a part of this team anymore because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy, the former number four player drafted 7 or 8 years ago. But what he has been successful at, what he is consistent in, is week number one production. The guy delivers in week one. And if he's going to deliver at all this season, this is the week Green Bay needs him. With no Alan Lazard, with Tonyan just fresh back from the ACL, we don't know if he's going to be 100% or how many plays he'll be in for. With the rookies still finding their way, this is a day where Sammy Watkins can make some hay. Hey, I hope he stays healthy. I hope he's a big part of this team as a bounce back year and kind of resurrects his career with Aaron Rodgers. But I'm not expecting that. So give me a good week one. Be that kind of dominant number one guy for 1 week. And I think that'll go a long way in what we want to see today from Green Bay. One other guy I haven't talked about yet, and I meant to, is Irv Smith. You know, the tight end's back after the thumb injury. Sounds like he's good to go. I really like this kid, and I think he has a chance to be special. Another kid that just hasn't stayed healthy yet. And so that's that part of the defense for Green Bay in the past. We've struggled against good tight ends. Feel like they've addressed that. Certainly adding Campbell last year in the all-pro season he had, and now pairing him with Quay Walker, I think really should help shore up some of those shortnesses against athletic tight ends in the middle of the field. I expect Kirk Cousins to look for Irv early and often today, and I'm curious to see how the Packers D handles that. All right, back to the phone lines. 1265 Lombardi Guy is up next. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you, Head Cheese and K-Fan, for year 27. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Awesome.
Two guys I like to look at this year, Devondre Campbell. Wow, what a season last year. What a surprise in a position that we know over the years has been just dreadful for us. But I'm looking for him to be equal to that or even better, given the extension and now being in place in the defense. So he's one I'm watching to follow up what he did. And the second one is Mason Crosby. You know, Mason typically does follow up with a better season after a down season, but his replacement is on the practice squad, which isn't typical. Teams do not put a kicker on a practice squad. So I think there's a little bit of a spotlight on Mason to produce. Enjoy the game, Dave.
Thanks, 1265. On the kicker on the practice squad, I think you are seeing that more and more ever since COVID. You know, just to protect yourself, you know, if COVID hits your kicker on game day or the day before, you've got a guy in the house. So I don't think it's that unusual anymore for that. Certainly Crosby's injury makes it even more important to have a guy ready for next week if something happens. He looked good in the preseason, Ahmed, and it's nice to have that insurance policy for sure. As for Devondre Campbell, I think it says a lot that he was named a captain this year. You know, he was one of three defensive guys, Kenny Clark, Adrian Amos, and himself were named the three defensive captains. So he got the nod over Jair Alexander. And you may have read this week, Jair was a bit bitter about that. I don't think he's bitter like Zadarius was a year ago. But the truth is, you know, when you've had an injury-plagued season, it's hard for your teammates to put you in there as a captain the next year. David Bakhtiari is not a captain this season. If he had played all year last year, I guarantee you he would be one of the offensive captains. But he is not, because he's coming off the injury, and he wasn't out there last year. You go with your captains are the guys that were with you a year ago. So Campbell gets the nod over Jair. I think that speaks loudly to what he meant to this defense, not just on the field, but in the locker room. What a great signing by Goody last year. Again, we started last season without knowing what Campbell would bring us and without Rasul Douglas on this defense. Obviously, Jair started the year and didn't last more than a month before he went down. But now having Douglas and Campbell, and know that those were Pro Bowl-type players a year ago added to this defense, then you bring in the rookie Quay Walker to make things hum in the middle. Again, could not be more bullish about the Packers defense, 1-11. Just really hope they stay healthy. Want to see what these guys can do over the long haul if most of these guys can stay out there. The other three captains, by the way, Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Mercedes Lewis. I feel like I haven't talked much about Jones and Dillon. An embarrassment of riches, a two-headed running attack. These guys are going to catch, I think Aaron Jones catches 8 balls today. I really do. I think he'll be a focal point, especially if that pass rush is aggressive. They blitz a little bit. They want to test those tackles. You just drop Jones into the flat and let him go. I'm really interested to see how much run Aaron Jones get out of the backfield as a receiver. And I think Dillon will do that as well. You know, LaFleur calls them receivers, running backs 1A and 1A. I know that's not great for fantasy, but I both those guys should get 15, maybe even 20 touches today. If they each get 15 to 20 touches, Green Bay's winning this game, hands down. All right, to Maple Grove we go. Dave checks in next. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ready for some football.
Yeah, you and me both. This next 6 hours cannot go fast enough.
That's right.
You just started to allude to this a little bit, Dave, but I would love to see, offensively, our game plan, I'd love to see maybe a 60-40 mix, 60% run, 40% pass. I'd love to see us snap the ball 70 times on offense. What are the chances of us doing that? What do we need to do for a game plan to do that? Let's get a prediction in. Let's win this thing in overtime, 33-27, and let's bring the Lombardi Trophy home.
Oh, man, I'm not sure I'm ready for overtime in week one. I think they'd love to run the ball, you know, at least 50, 55% of the time. You know, obviously the game script is going to play into that. And obviously if you fall behind, that makes things difficult. But, yeah, I mean, the strength of this offense is the interior of the offensive line right now until those tackles come back and those two running backs. And the soft, mushy part of the Vikings defense a year ago was their interior defense. So that will be tested. Another big strength for Green Bay on the other side, you know, is the Green Bay interior defensive line against the mushy offensive line in the middle for the Vikes. Their tackles, they feel good about O'Neal, and they should on the right side. You know, Darisaw, they really hope he'll take a step up in year two. But in the middle, Ezra Cleveland, Garrett Bradbury, and a rookie, Ed Ingram, you know, Green Bay can make things very difficult up front and have Kirk running for his life a little bit. So that's what I'll be watching is both middles of the line. You know, I think that's a strength for the Pack. I think it's a weakness for the Vikes, and we'll see if that plays out today. Time for one more. Old Southside guy, what you got, my man?
Hey, good morning, Davey. First of all, have a great and safe time with son Jackson there in Indiana. And congratulations to son Dillon, whose skippers are 2-0.
Thanks, man.
Davey, couple of comments here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, make it quick, Southside. I got about a minute.
Okay, a couple comments on the Packers. I hope, first of all, our offensive line with Bakhtiari doesn't turn into the Brian Buxton of the Packers. Offensively, I think Dillon and Jones are both going to catch 50 or more balls this year. We're going to see Jones as a wideout like we did in the Dallas game last year. And on the defensive side, I'm happy to see we've got some speed and athleticism this year. Go Pack.
I'm with you. Thanks, Southside. Yeah, me too. I'm so excited for this defense. It's been a long time coming. I want to remind people, you can read my pregame blog. Not so much at theheadcheese.com. I've partnered up with the folks at zonecoverage.com. So if you go to theheadcheese.com, it'll take you there. The Packer page at zonecoverage.com is now the head cheese. You can read my pregame blog along with a number of very talented writers covering the green and gold. I hope you will check that out. I am indeed down in Bloomington, Indiana today. Going to watch the game with my son Jackson, a devout Viking fan. But I'm excited to watch the game with him together for the first time in a couple years. Look, I think defense rules today on both sides. I don't know what to expect from the Vikings defense, but I think Green Bay's offense is going to take a little time to get in sync.